In 1946, a bunch of Navy soldiers decided to take a wild trip to Antarctica. But this wasn't your average vacation. Officially, they were there to test equipment in the elements and to do some scientific research. But it's rumored that these guys were on a secret mission to find a hidden Nazi base, locate cutting-edge technology, and maybe even locate extraterrestrial beings. Picture this, a bunch of soldiers strapping on their snow gear, strutting their stuff in the frozen tundra, kind of like James Bond icecapades, minus the hot, scantily clad female love interest, ready to uncover the truth and take out any baddies they came across. But what did they find? Well, possibly just a bunch of secrets that'll freeze you right in your tracks. So grab your thermal undies and prepare for an expedition that will make your brain freeze as we break the ice and dive down the rabbit hole into the frigid history of Operation High Jump.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Hello, once again. This is Zach. Joining me always is Lindy and Matt.
Hey.
I mean, Spar.
Hey.
And here we are again talking about fucking weird shit, which is my bag, so it was my turn. So if you don't like it, just, you know, give me shit. It's all good.
As if the other shit isn't weird.
Hope everybody...
We talk about...
Well, right?
There's less murder and mayhem in this one, I can tell you that much. A little less. Provable, anyway. Guys, thanks for tuning in once again this week. As always, you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram, or YouTube at HMFPPOD, or if you want to email us, HMFPPOD@gmail.com, or you can just hit us up through the website, which is the same fucking thing, HMFPPOD.com.
Keeping it simple.
Keep it simple. All right. You want to dive into this?
I can't wait.
You got anything? You can't wait. It's fucking cold, man. It's a cold story.
Just watching those videos, I was like, hey.
Jesus Christ. I think I watched like 18 or 19 different documentaries just to find snippets of different stuff.
Yeah.
And there's so much shit. So much shit.
Now, one of them that I watched, it was like an announcement, like they'd put out like for the people to see about what they were all doing.
It was like a propaganda
basically,
film.
Basically, yeah.
The propaganda film that they made. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw that one.
And today they found a...
And here we have General...
They found a penguin.
Here we have General Bird going through the... Yeah, here's a penguin.
Look at this whale. They killed a polar bear. What the fuck are you doing killing a polar bear?
That's a brave whale right there. All right, you ready? Okay, let's do this. Okay, we got to rewind to December 1938, okay?
Okay.
Now, we're not in World War II yet, but Hitler's on the brink of war, and he's hunting for ancient artifacts rumored to have superpowers. All right.
Indiana Jones was
now,
correct.
Now, the Nazis being the psycho... Oh, fuck yeah, it was. It was 100% correct. Now, the Nazis, being the psychopathic adventurous bunch they were, sent the SS Schwabenland on a top secret mission to Antarctica. Okay. Now, on board, there were scientists, engineers, and members of this mysterious cult called the Thule Society. Mm-hmm. And they were like this occultist group, and they had some pretty fucking whacked out beliefs.
Yes.
Okay. They thought.
No, not at all. What? Nazis with whacked out beliefs?
Like Himmler, the charge of these nut bars.
Totally not legit, right? Now these fool fellas, they thought there were an advanced human-like being called Aryans, or Aryanes, depending on where you look for it, hiding in the Earth's hollow core. And there was this magical entrance, supposedly, at the South Pole. Mm-hmm. Matt, do you care to interject on that?
No, it's got to be true.
It's got to be true? All right.
Fucking dumb.
Get to Antarctica. Do it now.
Get in the hole. All right.
Okay, so when the SS Schwabenland reached the Antarctic coast, it embarked on this wild 3-week adventure, and they mapped out vast stretches of land, and in doing so, they stumbled across this cozy little oasis free of ice and discovered warm water, plant life, and even like a geothermal vent. It was kind of like stumbling upon a tropical paradise in the land of icebergs. Mm-hmm. I can't back this up. This is the lore, okay? Some people say that. Some people say that they went under the ice and came up in ice caverns, okay? Like, in the land under the sea, okay? Mm-hmm. Anyway, this place was so perfect that the Nazis decided to establish Base 211, an underground facility as large as a small city, okay? At first, it was all about deploying submarines and missiles, but as the war turned south for the Nazis later on, it became their escape plan. Mm-hmm. So they transported a shitload of equipment there, supplies, personnel. And while thousands of sneaky Nazis slipped away to South America.
Argentina.
Argentina, yeah, that was the favorite hiding spot for them.
Yeah, because they were supporters. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them. Yeah.
Well, they turned out to be because they fucking paid them all off.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. This guy that was helping him out, he ended up being like the fucking ruler of Argentina because he got so much money from the fucking Nazis.
So I want to know,
this part is actual fact.
But is there a chance that like all the art and stuff that the Nazis stole, like was the Amber Room and all that shit that's never been refound? Do you think it's in Antarctica in a cave that's actually a freaking tropical paradise?
I think if it's in a cave in Antarctica, it probably got nuked. But we'll get there. We'll get to that.
Okay. Well, I can't find them.
Now, one of Hitler's chief scientists and engineers, this guy named Hans Kammler. Okay, he was in charge of the secret weapon program for Hitler. He vanished into thin air, along with his nifty long-distance supply plane, the Ju-390. And I guess there were only two built, and they never found his plane or him. Mm. Perhaps he went to Antarctica. I'm not sure.
Or to their moon layer.
Anyway, after they kind of retreated to Argentina, a wave of UFO sightings began to like pop up all across South America, okay? Mm-hmm. And it prompted the U.S. government to grow concerned that Kammler and his psycho cohorts might be maybe they sought refuge in Antarctica. So all this speculation emerged regarding the possible, you know, existence of this base where they could carry out their Nazi bullshit that they, you know, maybe the Fourth Reich coming up. So, and once again, this is all speculation, okay? This is just speculation, but this is how the story goes. Just rumors. Okay. The only way that they were going to know for sure was to brave the icy winds and venture out into Antarctica itself. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're with me so far?
Yes.
Is this too whacked out for you?
It sounds terrible.
Okay.
It doesn't sound too whacked out. I mean,
It's too fucking cold for me. That's what I know. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's the deal. Okay. There's this guy named Admiral Richard Byrd. And this guy's got a resume that could make Chuck Norris fucking blush. Okay. Like he's just a fucking badass. Real deal. Ever since the word badass, he reached the rank of admiral, rear admiral. At the age of 41. Okay. That makes him the youngest admiral in Navy history. Okay. And that's pretty impressive, but mm-hmm. there's a lot more. He has more medals and accommodations than you can shake a fucking frozen penguin dick mm-hmm. at. And you can't shake a frozen penguin dick at anything because they don't have dicks. But this guy had the Medal of Honor, the Navy Cross, Flying Cross, Silver Life Saving Medal. And in total, he has 22 citations and commendations for bravery, extraordinary heroism. He's decorated to his fucking polar bear balls, right, man. I mean, it's just fucking, he was the fucking man.
Or it's blackmail.
No, I don't think so.
Just joking.
Like to this day, he's still one of the most highly decorated officers in naval history. So, oh, and by the way, if you look at his lineage, he goes back to a couple of folks by the name of John Smith and Pocahontas. And I mean, yeah, that Pocahontas.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
After, I think he'd been to the North Pole for exploratory purposes, and he'd already been to the South Pole at least one time, maybe twice. So this was his third trip back. So they were like, fuck it, this is the guy. This is the guy that's got to lead the mission because he's already been there. He knows what's up.
Sounds like it, yeah.
So in August 1946, they launch Operation High Jump. So Admiral Byrd led a Navy task force of almost 5,000 men on this mission that was supposed to be just training, equipment testing, and studying the weather in some sub-zero conditions. And that's fucking legit, right? Because that's what you do when you send a whole fucking 5,000 men.
6,000, yeah, 5,000.
I think we'd be shocked if we found out.
I mean, we can't, frigid in Alaska at
all. They were fucking loaded for bear. I mean, they had full weapons. We're talking like, oh my God, so many weapons.
But I think it would be crazy if we knew how many things were labeled as training ops that really are not training
ops. Oh, a lot of them.
Recon missions?
We are talking about the U.S. government, and ladies and gentlemen, I did not have sex with that woman. you know what I'm saying?
What is it?
Didn't they have like 18 months worth of supplies? And
yeah, they had, like, they were supposed to be there for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to be in the in Antarctica for 6 months. So they had that many supplies. But like I said, it's all just a fucking cover story. There was no training. There was no testing. There were no scientific studies. None of that shit actually went down. According to some eyewitnesses, declassified records, and General Byrd's own journal, Operation High Jump had some secret goals up its sleeve, okay? Well, one of these goals was to plant the American flag on the Antarctic continent, extending the good old U.S. of A. sovereignty over the icy lands. And it seems that the good old U.S. of A. had denied this privilege publicly a few too many times, so they decided to take matters into their own hands. And another of the goals of this mission apparently was to try and locate and destroy a mysterious Nazi stronghold base known as Base 211. And possibly try to find and capture one of these supposed Nazi flying machines that they had constructed.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you've heard of them. I can't remember the German name for them, but they were like the Bell, the German, yeah. The Bells. Have you seen pictures of the Bell?
Mm-hmm. The Nazi, yeah. Bell.
Apparently these things were fucking real. And all the Foo Fighter sightings that you hear about during World War II, apparently those were all supposed to be the Nazi Bells. The bells ring for you. So yeah, they went down to capture these extraterrestrial frisbees, and if they could get their hands on them, and go kill some goddamn Nazis. Now that sounds like fun.
Killing Nazis. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn Nazis, man. Not just Nazis. All right. So to achieve these objectives, Byrd's task force was armed to the teeth. Okay. They had two destroyers, tankers, supply ships, icebreakers, heavily armed seaplanes, and even a fucking submarine, an attack submarine. Yeah. Sounds like it. Yeah. You know, no big deal. We're just going to go down there and do some, some weather surveys and, you know.
Since you brought that.
This is also where they developed, like, the landing tankers, too, for this mission, isn't it?
Yeah, the ones that fucking sucked. Yeah, the ones they had to drive in reverse to get them to go anywhere, because whoever designed the things, they had, like, shitty fucking tires on them, and they had zero traction and just get stuck in the snow immediately. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the one, Lynn. That's the one, Lynn. That's the one.
My question was the whole, you know, you got the guns on the destroyers, right? Big old massive nasty guns on the front of them, right? But then you've got I don't know, 6, 8, 10 inches of ice that has built up around. Now, if you try to fire through that,
it's just gonna, yeah, it's not gonna do shit.
They're not gonna shoot.
Things are gonna go well.
Maybe they
took doesn't sound like a good
idea.
Unless
they took a lot of antifreeze. I don't
know what they did. They
might have a lot of antifreeze. You never know.
I don't know what they were gonna do if they needed them.
I mean, in case you didn't know, here's a life hack for you. If you spray WD-40 on like your windows and stuff, they don't ice over like that. So maybe they just sprayed the shit out of the boats.
No, they were covered in ice.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying.
Apparently they ran out of the WD-40.
Spend all that money on ammo that they can't use now. Because I don't know if the guns would blow open like a fucking Looney Tunes cartoon or if they would actually fire through it.
Hard telling. Hard telling. So, after this armada, and that's exactly what it was,
right,
arrives on January 15th, and they start constructing Little America, which is the base that they were going to use for their headquarters during their stay there. Things didn't quite go as they planned. They had originally intended to be there for 6 to 8 months, and the base was very abruptly evacuated, and the task force made a hasty retreat back to South America after 40 days, which seems a bit odd, seeing that they had all these supplies and, you know, all the provisions they needed for 6 months, mm-hmm, like they had originally planned. Seems a bit.
How many people actually returned, though? Because didn't several hundred people?
Not said. Mm-hmm. It's not said. There were casualties. Okay. There were casualties.
They said several hundred people died on this mission.
And they lost ships on this mission.
Mm-hmm. Not for the dogs. None of them would have came back, I don't think.
That's the meanest fucking iceberg I ever heard of, man.
You know? Right? Well, I mean, that's apparently the Nazis had a super stronghold because you had to go.
Did you say super schlange? Super schlange?
Booty traps.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
in
that's
this
the big
case.
Yeah.
Because they had to go, you know, under the ice or to a certain area above to be able to find where they were hidden.
Right. I mean, that's the huge question here is you know, what happened. Mm-hmm. And according to Admiral Byrd,
allegedly,
this is where he becomes kind of a legend in ufology for all time. As soon as they docked in Chile, all these rumors started swirling about the strange discoveries and calamities that they've, you know, went through and why they were forced to come to an abrupt halt and retreat. Here's the kicker. Admiral Byrd himself spoke to the media, and instead of brushing these stories off, he expressed genuine concern about the potential for devastating aerial attacks on the good old US of A and any other country. It doesn't sound like a guy on the run in a run-of-the-mill scientific mission, does mm-hmm. it?
Mm-mm.
No. He went on full alarm mode, stressing the urgent need for immediate defense measures against these mysterious hostile forces lurking in the Arctic and Antarctic. He'd been to both. He wasn't trying to send anyone into a frenzy, but he wanted everyone to face the cold, hard truth. In the event of a new war, the U.S. could face attacks from flying objects capable of zipping between the poles at mind-boggling speeds.
Wow.
That's right. Flying objects with more pole-hopping skills than a coked-out stripper who's rinsed due to Marvel. I mean,
so they also very had, well done. So they had UFOs, but like, so they had the unidentified flying objects, but then they had unidentified, like land objects, and then they had unidentified sea.
We're getting there.
Okay.
The big deal here is apparently someone saw a chemtrail around the entire world. Now, chemtrails dissipate mm-hmm. in about 20
seconds?
Minutes, 20 minutes tops. So to completely take a trip around the world in 20 minutes, you're going faster than fucking Mach 10.
That's, yeah, you're picking it up.
And nothing can go Mach 10 even today, as far as I know.
That we know.
Yeah.
I want to believe, man. I want to believe.
Well, I don't want to believe that. Then. Well, okay, I guess it's fine because the Nazis didn't get to use it because they lost, but they might have been on the cusp of something.
But... Or did they lose? I mean, technically, Germany lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Nazis.
But these Nazis aren't still in Germany.
They are not in Germany, are they, Matthew? That's true. No, they are not. So, Admiral Broad reiterated this warning in a series of statements. Come on, I'm trying to get through this.
Okay.
Stay on target. Stay on target. All right, so he reiterated this warning in a series of statements, making it crystal clear that there was this new enemy on the horizon that could strike at any time, like I said before. And it's basically a surprise party you don't want to be invited to. And this is kind of where Admiral Byrd's whole saga kind of takes this weird turn, because when he returns to Washington, he's immediately whisked away for a debriefing. And despite the fact that he made all these numerous statements to the press during his 2-week stint, he goes in for this really lengthy interrogation and he never speaks about it again. He never uttered another word about Operation I-Jump. This whole mission was promptly stamped with a top secret classification, and any of the men who were involved, if they dared to spill the icy beans, they would find themselves behind bars. The Navy released a brief summary of the mission's achievements, admitting that some sailors had tragically lost their lives. However, they conveniently omitted the exact number of casualties, categorizing all of the deaths and ensuring the bodies remained buried on site instead of being brought back to the U.S.
It seems like not something that they would do.
It sounds like a little fishy. I mean,
or as my kids would say,
no man left behind. Yeah. No man left behind unless it's Antarctica, and then fuck those guys. It's fucking too cold out here. Is that it? Is that the way it goes? I
can't be bothered to freeze to death, man. Leaving me to dead. We got to go.
Yeah. All right. So while he was there during.
I'm getting dark with that, but.
No, dude, go ahead.
Bring on the darkness. Did they get hungrier than they let on? Did they brought enough food? Or
I don't know.
Did they?
They had a 6 months worth of supplies and they were only there for 40 days, man.
When it's cold, your body really burns the energy it needs.
Need them beany weenies.
What is that? Now I can't remember the name of the mission. The cannibal mission where they ended up only the one guy survived. What is it?
Is that I don't remember. Is this a military mission?
No. It's not a military mission.
Is this the soccer or the soccer team from South America?
I think more than one lived.
I'm talking about that. Yeah, there was the. Hold on, I'll find it. It's the original cannibal mission that started in Utah and went up through Colorado.
Oh yeah, more than one person lived through that. Are you sure?
Of the five people that went out.
Okay.
Dahmer.
The Dahmer party. I know more than one.
Dahmer party. Thank you.
There was more than one person that lived.
Yeah. The five people that broke away from the camp make the final trek.
Yeah, to go to get
only
help.
One
yeah,
came back yeah. from that.
Mm-hmm. But they came back and luckily some of those people were alive. It was fucking nuts. Like, had to burrow down to get into the homes they were staying in, crawl out like gerbils.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's a disturbing mission.
Definitely cover that episode, I'm assuming.
All for gold.
The things anyway, we do for gold.
That had nothing to do with Nazis or, you know, military. So
it's all good.
Let's get back to the
Sounds
topic.
Terrible.
All right, stay on target. They came from behind. All right. So during one of his airborne exploratory flights, I'll spit it out. Admiral Byrd mysteriously vanished for 3 hours, entering a perplexing realm of lost time. Officially, this was blamed on radio failure. And as for the mission's premature termination, the blame was conveniently placed on adverse weather conditions. Case closed, or so they claim. But here's the frosty twist here, Matt.
Okay.
In that three-hour disappearing act, Admiral Byrd meticulously documented his experiences, but upon his return to the States, his journals were confiscated and classified. Huh. But the government did not get their hands on everything because he had a secret diary. And he had kept hidden, and he entrusted his son just before he passed away.
Did he keep it in an old prison wallet? Or
I guess. I don't know, man. That's a time. I hope it's a tiny diary, if that's the fact. And I hope he could write really small.
2 years I wore this uncomfortable look in my ass.
Anyway, if a fraction of what he claims is true, what a fucking screed.
Uh-huh.
According to this diary, he early in that morning with clear weather and mechanically sound plane, he fuels up for his daring flight. Okay. Mm-hmm. At precisely 8:15, soaring to an altitude of 23,000 feet, he conducts a radio check with base camp to report the situation. And then, around 9:10, he notices a peculiar color pattern in the snow below. Okay, like, looks a little yellowish, which is kind of weird for Antarctica. It should be all completely fucking white, because it's just, it's a fucking desert of snow. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Antarctica actually is classified as a desert.
It is a desert, yeah. Less rainfall there than anywhere else in the entire world, I believe.
It's just once the snow falls, it never goes away.
It's just permanently because it's so cold, yeah. So he sees this yellow snow or this yellow ice, and he circles the area, investigates it. He makes visual contact with the camp, and he radios his findings, okay? However, he notes that at this time, his instruments begin to exhibit strange behavior. Both compasses gyrating wildly, making them fucking useless. Because at the time, everything is magnetic. And when you're on pole, just ask the stripper, nothing works right when you're on the pole. I could not help that, by the way. I mean, we're talking about poles. Yeah, rinse do, baby. So, undeterred, Bird relies on the sun for navigation while keeping a visual of the camp. He notes that his controls feel sluggish, and he expresses concern about potential wing icing. And although there is some ice, it does not indicate a significant problem, and he just continues flying forward what appears to be a mountain range. Okay? Mm-hmm. So then for like 30 minutes, it says 29 minutes and 49 seconds. We'll just round up to 30 minutes. A flight time from the first sighting, Bird confirms the presence of mountains he had never seen before. And he crosses this newfound range and descends toward an astonishing sight. He claims to see a green valley with a tranquil river flowing through it. And he says, hey, this ain't supposed to be here in this frozen tundra. And then forests start to show up on the slopes of the mountains. And he just kind of goes, huh. And all the while, he says his navigational equipment just continues to just spin erratically because of the magnetic. Okay. So at this time, apparently, he's actually gone into inner Earth. He's gone inside.
Okay. I was thinking
he doesn't ever say that, but that's the implication that he's actually gone. He went in the hole, Matt.
I was thinking it was a mirage.
He went in the hole, Andy.
It was a mirage in the snow desert.
I guess. I don't know. So he descends to 1,000 feet. And he reaches for his binoculars to better observe this unbelievable sight. He sees this grazing animal that looks like an elephant. And, you know, he's like, wait, that's not an elephant. It looks like a mammoth. You know, he pulls his binoculars out and he's like, oh, yes, it is a mammoth.
It is a mammoth.
I know it's fucked up, isn't it? It's so fucking weird. Crazy. So he reports this back to base camp, but he has no response. He hasn't had any response from base camp for a while.
Electronics are failing. His radio's gone out. Utopia that he's found.
In this inner Earth, yeah. So he just continues to fly over this expansive green pastures, and he realizes that, like, wait, it's not fucking cold anymore. All the frost is gone from the windows. All the ice from the wings it's gone. He removes his gloves. He touches the canopy windows, and he looks at a temperature gauge, and it reads 74 degrees Fahrenheit. In Antarctica? Ugh. This is crazy, man.
Certainly.
Starts shedding jackets. Scarves.
Oh, man.
So the radio remains silent.
Plane. Let's get in that water. Good
talk. He's gotten no response on the radio, but he just continues to move forward and for like another hour. And then he observes what appears to be a vast countryside of landscape on the horizon. So then this immense crystal shimmering city pops up in front of him. And he's mm-hmm. like, what the fuck is that? He tries to steady the plane. But all of a sudden, he starts to lose control of the plane, and he notes a disconcerting lightness and buoyancy enveloping the aircraft, meaning like it's lighter than it feels lighter than it should be.
Uh oh!
And then all of a sudden, on both sides of his plane, these two disc shaped crafts that are radiating light swiftly close in on him, and he notices that they're both completely silent. I don't know how he could have noticed that in his fucking 1940s.
Super loud fucking prop plane.
Dual engine plane, but yeah.
Well, they're not louder than my plane, so they must not be making any noise.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Kind of bitch ass plane you got over there. Don't even make no noise. What kind of muffler you got on that thing?
Pipes on that fucking pussy.
Need to get a lift on there too. Mm-hmm.
You ain't rolling coal.
So, he kind of gets concerned, and he's like, "Okay, it's probably time to head back." And he tries to maneuver the plane, but his controls are unresponsive. So
tractor beams,
the engine. Yes, exactly. The engine cuts out, and then he just continues to fly, guided by some unseen force. Okay. And as these weird craft approach closer and closer, he sees markings on them. Got any idea what those are?
Swastikas?
Could they be?
No. Nah, they weren't bees. Matt, again, okay, 2 points to Matt. They were fucking swastikas. So at this point in his diary, it says that his radio, which had not been working for over an hour, suddenly comes back to life. And although the signal's distorted, a voice with a slightly German accent speaks clearly in English to him, and it welcomes him to the domain and assures him that they will land the plane in precisely 7 minutes. The aircraft then gently lands itself, and Admiral Byrd is greeted by several tall men with blonde hair.
Blue eyes.
Blonde hair? I didn't say blue eyes, but we might as well go there. Blonde hair, blue eyes. Yeah. And then they were very handsome looking people, and they proceed to take him on this levitating platform, and they are rushed toward the city at this very great speed, he says. Then he's directed to an elevator, which takes him deep underground with remarkable silence and speed, whereupon he enters a room where an older man sits at a long table. And the man introduces himself as the master and explains that his people, called the Ariani, have been observing humanity for a long time. And they have now chosen to intervene due to concerns about the human race in handling atomic energy, which puts them at risk of self-destruction. You got this?
Dude, I just feel like we went from Hoth to Coruscant. I don't even know what the fuck's going on.
Okay, this is basically, I found a leaked script for Indiana Jones and the whatever this is. It's the new Indiana Jones. This is the script from it.
Really? Yeah. They're covering this?
No, oh. Not really. No, oh, just, no, this is old shit. This yeah, is from.
I wanted
from
it. I wanted fucking, it, man. I don't know. The last one. What anyway. Was the last one? JD said it was called Indiana Jones and the Pile of Shit or.
Yeah,
Crystal yeah. Skull or whatever. I never watched it. I was too afraid it was going to hurt my
Crystal Shit
yeah,
Skull.
Crush
yeah,
my childhood, yeah. So I didn't watch it.
Stay on target.
Target.
All right. So this master reveals to him their attempts to make contact had been met with hostility, and their ships had been fired upon and pursued by all these fighter planes. And hence, they had chosen Admiral Byrd to deliver the message due to his fame and respected status, hoping that the world will believe him.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, following this meeting, Admiral Byrd is escorted back to his plane, and then shortly after takeoff, a voice comes through the radio notifying him that control of the aircraft now belongs to him, bidding him a farewell, a fond farewell in a language the voice identifies as this Aryan. Auf Wiedersehen. And then he's off.
So this part kind of fucks me up a little bit because it's said that in order to enter this base, the people that were there, the people who were welcomed, because the Aryans are technically like a supernatural race, right?
Yeah.
The people who were allowed in there had to sign some sort of contract stating that, as far as they knew, there was no, forgive me, everyone, there's no colored blood, there's no indigenous blood, there's no, as far as you know, you are, you're what? You're pure in their part. Okay, Admiral Byrd was indigenous.
Yeah.
So they're going to entrust this to someone they wouldn't even allow on their base?
It's all of his fame maybe they were using. It
could have been his popularity and his fame. Yeah,
I guess that's fair.
I didn't mention this earlier, but he actually would have had the first transatlantic flight if his plane had not crashed in testing before, and that's why that's why Lindbergh beat him by maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah, he had a better plane.
So
yeah, he had beat him earlier in the month
just because his plane was being fixed at the time. So. Yeah, Lindy, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. This is just the information I found on this. I'm not telling you any of this is actually fact. This is This is just how, this is how it goes, Matt. Jesus Christ.
How we know that there was a contract that needed to be signed to get into Base 211 to begin with is beyond me. But
what kind of contract did you sign to see that they needed you to sign a contract, Lindy? That's what I want to know. And is there a contract to sign a contract to see the contract or
probably
I'm
sure that there was all kinds of things.
Do I have to make another password for this because I'm getting fucking fed up?
Boobs is not gonna work, Matt. It's not gonna work this time. All right,
you're gonna have to add an IES to the end
I've
of that.
I've got more notes of passwords than I do of notes I've written for this damn show, which is fucking mind-boggling,
right? Yeah. All right.
You need to learn to use Excel. We're going to have a phone conversation.
He can turn it. Not he can turn on the computer. I mean,
it's going to end with me in tears going, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And why are you yelling at me?
Oh.
I'm patient.
Oh, I'll put you to the test.
Unless we're talking about Phil Schneider, I'm patient.
All right, I've got more. If you want to hear more.
Okay.
On target. Okay. On target.
Stay on target. All right, so there were more classified documents leaked in 1991 from Russia after the fall of the Soviet Union to shed light on some of these particular events unfolding back at Camp Little America, which is the name of the base that they had made, you know. So apparently 2 days after their arrival, bright lights appeared in the horizon. And initially they mistook them for another ship. And then they were kind of below the Antarctic Circle navigating uncharted waters. And these lights swiftly ascended at a 45 degree angle into the sky, eluding radar contact. So, cool. So these things were fucking fast.
Love that.
And then three hours later, same day, five additional lights emerged. And then they were hurtling directly towards the ships. And apparently they fired from the ships all their anti-aircraft guns and 20-millimeter cannons, and they hit jack and shit. The crafts were completely unaffected. This is testimonies from sailors.
If it's ran on magnets, that's my belief. A bullet like that isn't going to be able to... Uh-huh.
One of these sailors included a radio operator on the USS Brownson, Lieutenant John Sayerson. He collaborates the emergence of these strange objects propelling vertically out of the water at tremendous speeds. So they just basically right out of the water.
A lot of talk about that. I'm so interested in that.
Yeah. Your UAPs.
Yeah. We could do a whole episode on that.
Adding to all these events, an aircraft from the USS Currituck was instantly obliterated by a mysterious energy beam, while the torpedo boat, the USS Maddox, succumbed to flames and began to descend beneath the waves approximately 10 miles away. So they saw it just basically blow up, and they immediately, one of the ships took off to go try to pick up any survivors. Yeah. According to this report, the first attack occurred at 2:02 p.m., and that marked the beginning of a series of subsequent attacks over the following weeks. The last engagement with the unknown craft took place on February 26th at 3:04 p.m. At that point, the Navy Task Force ordered a retreat and departed the area 6 months ahead of schedule, despite the mission initially planning to continue. And this is one of the very few times you'll ever see or hear about any U.S. government just going in a full, armed force going in a full retreat. They're like, we are fucking outgunned. Let's get the fuck out of here. Boys.
Fubar.
Another lieutenant named Sayerson, unable to identify the lights, speculated that they might have been advanced German weapons operated by survivors of the recently defeated Third Reich. He theorized that they could be operating from a secret base under Antarctica. And this has fueled a lot of speculation while everybody talks about this. This is a big one, Operation High Jump.
Yeah. Huge. So, I didn't want to go down too many rabbit holes because I was like, I don't know which path he's following, because once you start in, the tunnels just.
Yeah.
If you didn't get that, it was.
There. I got all that, yeah.
Like jumping on one of the magnetic. Yeah. Magnetic underground trains.
I watched several different documentaries, and apparently some people that were stationed there in the Air Force in Antarctica and basically would drop supplies all over the continent to all these different places. Mm-hmm. They got an emergency call along this mountain range, and there's a no-fly zone that's within 5 miles of the actual South Pole. And because it was a medical emergency, even though they're not supposed to fly over it, they were trying to cut time.
Right.
Because they had to go pick this person up to try to save them. So they went through this no-fly zone, and apparently they saw this giant fucking hole in the no-fly zone, bigger than a football field. Just this big-ass fucking hole in the ground. And immediately after they picked up the person and got them to where they were going, they were met by these men that said, "You didn't see anything.
You see nothing." It's like when I catch my son getting into the snack drawer. If I walk in the kitchen, he goes, "You see nothing." That's his go-to, right? Every time. You catch him with like a bag of Cheetos, he's like, "You see nothing."
He's giving you the Jedi mind trick thing. You see nothing. Got it.
I am not the child you're looking for.
Now, I can't remember the name of the operation. I forgot to write it down. But there was another operation in Antarctica. Okay, well, the one that I'm talking about was where they supposedly ran nuclear tests at the South Pole shortly after this incident. And it's speculated that these tests were actually a secret operation to eliminate this Nazi base. Wipe them out.
On the same continent that the Nazi base is on, they're running tests to destroy it?
No, they're not running tests. No, they're just running nuclear tests. You know,
to destroy a Nazi base?
I'm behind it. No. I'll get into that after I get through the rest of this.
Okay.
Target.
Okay, so.
Stop asking questions.
God damn it. So the last entry in Admiral Burrell's diary was written many, many years later. He sensed what he called the long night approaching, and he wanted to ensure that this knowledge would not die with him. So he expressed his belief that just as the prolonged darkness of the Arctic ends, the truth will eventually come to light, and those who dwell in darkness will be exposed. He claimed to have witnessed a land beyond the poles, stripper's paradise, if you will. Sorry. I mean, when's the next time I'm going to the poles? You know, right. So
probably November.
The last diary entry. The last diary entry is dated December 24th, 1956, and it was discovered by his son Richard Byrd Jr., who released it as per his father's wishes.
Dick Byrd Jr.
And like I said before. So, as I said earlier, you know, the supposed nuclear tests took place. They never admitted to it. But 18 months after his death, the Antarctic Treaty was signed, imposing strict regulations on travel to Antarctica without special permission from one of the signatory governments who had basically claimed it, portions of it. Okay?
That seems a little crazy, too.
Even with the permission, access is limited to a very few designated areas. Despite the fucking vastness of Antarctica is bigger than the USA.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the questions are, why are all these fucking restrictions in place? Was there a Nazi base? Is there a hidden civilization of these fucking weird ass aliens underground? And the unidentified flying objects described by the sailors in 47 bear a resemblance to the UFO sightings that we see today. And let's see, Roswell, by the way, happened about 3 months after Operation High Jump. And mm-hmm. You know what was on, you know what was happening at Roswell? Nuclear
testing.
Testing. Testing. Mm-hmm. Testing.
And it's like
testing. 1, 2, 3.
It's like when I said that I seen. I had seen, okay. Like, the only two strange things that I had seen, like, as far as, like, crafts in the air were only about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles from the power plant. And then I heard that a bunch of sightings are found around that kind of situation, like nuclear testing, yeah. Power plants, yeah. Reactors.
Yeah.
And it's the crazy thing is like what the U.S. has had as far as like military ships and what they use, like the SR-71 Blackbird, how fast it could go. And they stopped using it before anyone even knew we had it.
You know, the CIA used that before the fucking U.S. government ever did. That was the CIA.
Because it had a spy drone on it. Mm-hmm. A spy drone that long ago.
Who the fuck dunked that up?
That's what I'm saying. Looking plane, man. That was like my favorite plane of all time. I had a model of that when I was a kid.
It was SR-7.
I got to see one when I went to space camp.
At the base in Utah. Saw one at the base in Utah.
Yep, I got to see it at space camp, and my wife still makes fun of me because I went to space camp. I was a kid.
That's pretty badass. I wish I would have gone to space camp.
That's pretty cool.
I was
cool.
A kid. I was only 20.
My aunt was actually.
No, I was actually.
That made me pay extra, but I did it. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Some of this shit is completely fucking bullshit. It's been debunked. No. Like this diary, Admiral Byrd's diary, supposedly it's not real. Yeah. The flight mentioned it actually takes place in the North Pole versus the South Pole. Mm-hmm. And there are several entries in the diary closely resembling actual published logs from that mission. Like the instrument failures, engine issues, stuff like that. And then certain paragraphs seem to be taken directly from this 1937 film called Lost Horizon, where the main character is talking to a Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling similar shit, just like it's a warning. And in 1964, a book about Hollow Earth was published by an author named Walter Sigmeister. Sounds German. Using the pen name Raymond Bernard. It extensively mentions Admiral Byrd. He went on to write numerous books about UFOs and the Hollow Earth. when it surfaced, this diary surfaced, this guy wrote the foreword, and it kind of raises suspicion, like, maybe he wrote the whole fucking
most day. Likely.
Yeah, because the whole diary is written in not Admiral Byrd's style. Like, there's a ton of exclamation
yeah,
points.
There's a lot of exclamation points in it as well. Yeah.
Got to get that point across.
That was my next.
Admiral Byrd was. He was extremely meticulous.
He was very meticulous. It's like, you know, he'd make an entry every 10 minutes, basically, and be like, no problems, you know, contacted base. And just like, that's it. There's no holy shit, exclamation point, none of that.
Right, because
this is some crazy shit.
All the shit he's been through in his life, there's no.
Hey, you've been drinking today.
There's no more holy shit moments to be had. It's just like all he's been through.
Yeah.
This is just another day, man. It's a fucking whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so as far as the Nazis go, the German expedition, the Schwabenland, it did go to Antarctica in 1938, okay? Mm-hmm. Supposedly, it was there primarily to secure new whaling ports for Germany, ensuring that they had a steady supply of oil for like margarine and shit like that for the war.
Very important
they were
for the war.
Completely dependent, yeah. Completely dependent on other countries for a lot of
that
stuff.
They were over-whaling at the time. Still.
Yep. Now, that expedition, apparently they claimed Summerland for Germany, and it was believed that they scouted for a potential base, but there's no concrete evidence of the base being discovered.
However, was supposed to have owned
there
that?
Have been there oh, have been sorry. Nazi artifacts found in Antarctica.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Which
yeah.
kind of it contributes to the kind of peculiar little fuckery of this story. Right. And they're fucking Nazis. So you can bet your fucking sauerkraut and bratwurst that anything they said was true. I mean,
yeah, they're totally credible.
Well,
they
would have
denied killing around 6 million people. No, we didn't do that.
But they would have went anywhere to try to find anything because of all the occultist beliefs and stuff those guys had. I mean, they had all the money because they had stole it from everybody. So they would spend whatever if they thought it was going to give them an edge up on taking over the world. I mean, so I believe.
Yeah.
Well, and
they actually traveled there to try to do something.
There's like,
absolutely.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they did too. Like I said earlier, the Soviet intelligence report from 1947 said that the mission aimed to locate and destroy a Nazi base in Antarctica.
Yep.
There was go ahead.
A bunch of like downed U-boats and stuff that had parts missing from them that they think were to make the Bell.
Yep.
UFO things.
And also in this, there were some inaccuracies in the Soviet intelligence report, like names of ships were kind of fucked up, but it does align with everything else on this large. I mean, it was a fucking large scale military expedition. I mean, why the fuck would you send that many ships to Antarctica?
And
it's basically
and risk that many men.
It's World War II.
Testing.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
And
when we could have went to Alaska and got this, you know, the frigid temperatures that were needed, or even to Russia.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the Soviet report also mentions battles with UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
But can't be proven.
Right.
As far as the U.S. government's concerned, Operation High Jump's premature conclusion was officially attributed to adverse weather conditions. But
you know the fact that they sucked.
I'm gonna go with a couple of different theories here.
All right.
And there are certain elements that cannot be explained. And there is the no fly zone now. Okay.
That is just, yeah.
And whatever. I think most governments are in agreement that whatever exists there should remain undisturbed. And the whole fact that Admiral Byrd did actually go missing for 3 hours. And okay, so he's gone for 3 hours. He's in a short range plane. How the fuck did he get back? He would have run out of fucking fuel.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking too. Cause you said it would have been like he had been gone for an hour already. And then 3 hours later, it's like, how long did the fuel last in those planes? And did they fill them all the way up? Because a lot of times they try to if there's only two people in this plane.
Sometimes they would actually adjust take out like the passenger seats and put more fuel in the back.
Just to,
and I think some of these planes were equipped like that, but not sure if his was or not. So here's what I think. I think it's fucking lizard people, man. It's fucking lizard people. No, it is a fact that the Nazis retreated to South America.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
It is a fact.
A bunch of them were pinched in Argentina, but yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Long after the fact.
Right. Oh, yeah. Most of them got to live out their lives. And yep.
I would, my theory is if this is true, the Nazis did have a fucking secret military base in Antarctica. And that was like their Fourth Reich. And I think they went down there and they got their fucking asses handed to them. Mm-hmm. And then they turned around and they fucking nuked the fucking thing. And they knew Hitler, or if he was still alive, he was probably still in South America at that point. And they just said, look, you fucking move again, you're fucking dead. You do anything again, you're fucking dead. And they said, up, and we'll leave you alone.
So you don't think Hitler died in 45? Do you think that was fake?
That's a different podcast, Matt, but yeah.
You don't think he killed himself in the base?
That's my... Nope.
No.
Oh.
I think he got away. I think he and Eva Braun both got away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever seen the show Hunting Hitler?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's another rabbit hole we'll go down at some point, but...
I will watch it if we're going to do an episode. But I mean, I suppose I've been...
They have found sunken U-boats off the coast of South America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That mm-hmm. is a
They've
fact.
Been everywhere, yeah.
We know that the Red Cross in Europe was giving new papers to Nazis that were trying to
Show
get
me
out
your papers.
Of Europe.
I told you I told you immigration people, I lost just my stinking papers, okay?
little Dead Alive reference there for you. But yeah, I think that's my theory, is if not UFOs, then yeah. And this kind of leads right into Paperclip, which reads into MK Ultra, which leads into Manson and the Unabomber and all kinds of shit. So congratulations. We just opened up a big fucking can of worms.
Let's go.
Yes.
Hope you're happy.
Charge it. Charge full speed ahead.
Heck yeah.
Well, that's all I've got on Operation High Jump. Questions, comments, concerns, anyone?
If people go out and start looking into this, good luck. Hope you're not doing anything for about a month.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's a deep dive. I thought I would do this one and it would be easy, and I backed off, and it took me like 3 weeks to get through all this shit to be like, okay, I got to kind of take a little bit from every angle. So, holy shit.
I crammed
shit.
As much as I could in the last...
easy.
4 day podcast and video wise for Operation High Jump, Matt.
Yeah. Easy, Matt. Easy.
Todd would be proud of me, I think. It's okay.
I can hear him somewhere in the distance clapping. I sent him a text message yesterday that said checking in. He's all checking on. I'm like, we're done with this conversation right now. Yeah. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, fucking Todd.
Fucking Todd. All right.
Well, guys, if you don't have anything else.
I do. We didn't mention Benjamin Franklin not one fucking time.
I was actually going to mention.
Hey, but we did mention Hitler, who his fucking... Fucking step brother.
Toy no, hell.
Stepbrother. Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Little Nicky.
I bet
Nicky where he tells him to get a pineapple out. No, a bigger one.
Not bigger one. Are you serious?
And then I was going to bring up the whole Iceland and Greenland thing that I think was by the Vikings, because Iceland is green in Greenland's eyes. So I think like the Vikings that found it, they came back across to get supplies and people and bring them back. They were like, oh no, fuck that place. You don't want to go there. It's Iceland. You can't live there. So let's head back. Let's go.
Fucking balls. It's that or their map skill. Their map skills sucked. It was that or
it could be.
It was one of the other. Yeah.
I don't know. As soon as you started talking about it being icy and then...
Oh, shit. We got the map flipped upside down.
Turned into a paradise. I was just like, oh. At least you haven't done flat Earth yet, man. I'm going to lose my fucking shit. It'll go all the way clear back to the time when I went to space camp. That I will lose my fucking mind on flat Earth. It drives me fucking insane.
Don't feel the need until...
Are we going to do flat Earth and hollow Earth at the same time?
I mean... Hollow Earth's been around a lot longer. I mean, it's like if you look at like
there are caves, so I'll give that a little bit more. I mean, part of it is hollow. Okay, sure, part of it is.
Yeah,
flat Earth. Yeah. Fuck no.
Yeah, but does it have its own sun?
Does Hollow Earth have its own sun?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I heard. Yes.
Doesn't
I've
Hollow
heard.
Earth have a lot to do with Antarctica? Mm-hmm.
That's the entrance. Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
It is
the Earth's A-hole. In the North Pole is the Earth's P-hole.
That's not true.
I believe Antarctica is exit only. Unless you use the loop.
I don't know, man. The Earth's...
Well, I mean, people can fly straight into mountains in Antarctica and the mountains will just disappear, so it's fine.
It's one of those things.
Yeah, if you manage to get to Antarctica, let us know how it turns out, please.
Mm-hmm. And why?
Lots of pictures.
No, I have absolutely no interest.
I don't know if Carhartt makes anything strong enough for me to survive in Antarctica. I don't know what I would have to get.
Nope. Utah's cold enough. That's a cold hill all on its own. I don't need to go anywhere colder.
I moved to Texas to get away from Illinois winters, so yeah, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's still in the 60s here because of how
60s like, are perfect,
oversaturated though. We've been this year. But right now it's normally, you know, like Satan's asshole.
It's like 90.
Here right now. It's usually in the high 90s.
You mean like Dallas? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 92. Tomorrow it could be 74 and raining. And then it might snow in a week mm-hmm. and a half. And then be 105.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Illinois is. Amazing.
If you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hold my fry sauce.
I need a cooler. Wait.
All right, folks. Anymore. Let's wrap this up. Okay. All right. Let's just wrap this up.
All right.
All right, guys. Thanks again for hanging out. We will see you next Tuesday with more shenanigans. Thanks for tuning in and liking, subscribing, and following. Wherever you get your podcast.
Please do. Please do.
Until next week. I'm Zach.
Spar.
Lindy.
And we will see you next motherfucking Tuesday. Get to Antarctica. Do it now.
It's evil. Don't touch it.
It's alive. I want to hear you.
They're coming to get you.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Antarctica, Antarctica, you freeze my fucking testicles.
Why did she do that on the episode?
Oh, shit. No, it slipped my mind.